I'm Stephanie Coxon.
And I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And we are two women influencing real life. So let's twirl.
We're here today with Kathy Burries. She's a nurse practitioner and has a lot of experience, obviously, within the medical field. But she had some very personal experiences within her own family during our recent medical event and vaccine mandates and so forth that we saw happen within the past couple of years. So she's here to share her story and then maybe some advice and things that we should look out for as we consider what we do with our own health and the health of our families ongoing. So I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And I'm Stephanie Coxon. And we are two women inspiring in real life. So let's twirl.
Well, Stephanie, I'm very excited to have our guest on here today to talk about a subject that has affected many people. And a lot of people maybe have thought about and are questioning, you know, maybe they question it right from the get-go. Maybe now they're questioning our whole injection mandates that happened within the past couple of years.
You know, I just want to point out, I used to be called an anti-vaxxer. Right?
Because yes, you were. Yes.
Yes. Because if you didn't want one vaccine, you were an anti-vaxxer. Well, I just want to welcome, 60% of the population to the anti-vaxxer world, because now you too are an anti-vaxxer.
Mm-hmm. I am. And you know what? I never was. So that's, and we've shared that before. I was like, fine. Okay. Give it. And I know you've enlightened me with things you should be looking for, questions you should ask. I just always figured, hey, it's a doctor. They know. And if they said, give this to your child, I said, okay. I never even asked, what's the side effects? Or then they gave you the papers. I never read it. But I'm completely different now, let me tell you.
I think there's a ton of people in your position that are now questioning everything. And I think we should have been from the beginning, but it was a wake up call for people. And this is where we're at now, you know?
Yes. And that's why the more I hear, the more I learn. That's the key. The more I learn, the more cautious I am about anything, like you said. And I hope
Absolutely.
That other people are the same. And especially when we hear someone's story like we have on today and just some advice from them and just hearing, you know, when it's one thing, I'm one of those people, I learn from other people more than books or whatever. So when I hear other people and that, is that called experiential learning? Is that what that
is?
Yeah. Yeah. That's me. I'm much more that way. So I like to hear from other people and then say, well, if that happened, maybe that could happen to me or my kids or grandkids. So,
and I think the key is, you know, you learn, but then you take action, whatever action that is, even if it's small, you learn and then you take action. And she has quite a bit of experience. So she's a nurse practitioner in Pennsylvania. She's got she received her Bachelor of Science in Nursing from Iowa in 92. She has a Master's of Science in Nursing Midwifery from 2001. And then she also has the Postmaster Certificate for Adult Gerontology from Stony Brook University. So she has some significant experience here, is currently in cardio-oncology. So I think we're going to learn a lot.
Wow.
I know.
I'm already impressed and we haven't even talked to her yet. That's all I need to know. See, that's how easily I'm impressed.
Natural health.
So with all that, thank you for coming on, Kathy. It is great to have
you
here.
Thank you for having me, ladies.
So tell us a little bit. So we want people to understand what's happening across the U.S. And I think mm-hmm. that your story exemplifies quite a bit of what's happened to people, whether it is the newest injection mandate, but you experienced some of those side effects early, right, with other vaccines. And so you've really had quite the journey over the last, 10 years or so, a little bit longer?
Way longer.
Okay, way longer. My fault, way longer.
No, I'll tell you.
So go ahead. Tell me, where did it begin? You were a nurse, you're going through school, you felt very confident about the medical system at that point?
Oh, yes. I graduated nursing school in 1992. And so my story related to vaccines and my own personal vaccine injury actually goes back that far. So we're talking the early 90s. So at that time, and I know you guys have discussed this before, you talked a little bit about the 1986 Act and kind of what happened with the vaccine schedule in the U.S. after that. Well, one of the very first things that got added onto the schedule was the hepatitis B vaccine series. And I think So if you look back, I think it kind of came out around like late 80s, early 90s. And then, of course, the one of the first mandated populations was healthcare workers. So what happened to me in nursing school was that we were just instructed, you have to take this vaccine series or you cannot complete your clinical for nursing school. So I was, you know, 20 years old at the time. I didn't know any better. And of course, I went ahead and got the 3 vaccine series. At the time, however, I was healthy, but I was experiencing some little bouts of something called alopecia areata, which was like I would lose little chunks of my hair. And this was kind of happening around the same time, I would say, that I was receiving these 3 vaccines. And then what happened was that when I graduated nursing school, right before I graduated, the areata areas, it began to escalate. So I graduated, you see my picture, and I had a full head of hair. And then within 6 months of me graduating from nursing school and I was working and everything, I lost all of my hair. And then I lost all my eyebrows and my eyelashes and all my body hair.
Oh my gosh. And
I have been in that situation ever since then. So that was 1993. So I graduated in December of 1992. And then by the summer of 1993, I had absolutely no hair. And I was wearing a hairpiece.
And let me back up just a little bit, because some people may not know the Act of 1986 that you referenced, in that it was that year where the vaccine companies no longer were liable for any injuries. You know, a lot of pharmaceutical companies were going to stop making vaccines because there were so many lawsuits against the companies because of the vaccine injuries. And so in order to stop that, the vaccine companies no longer were liable in 1986. And that is also when they started to add enormous amounts of vaccines to the schedule for people.
And why wouldn't you, right? If you all of a sudden aren't liable anymore, let's just put that sucker out there and make some money off of it, right?
That's right.
It's a cash being a little. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a cash cow, right? Mm-hmm. You can't lose. You can't lose. We can put out any products that we want, you know, not worry about killing people, yeah, harming people, changing their lives, disability, or anything else. We're going to be fine. And so that's when you went from, you know, 5 childhood vaccines to, I think we're at 69, maybe a little bit more at this point. I'm not sure if there's been a couple that have been officially added to the schedule that's on the list to be added yet. But yeah, by the time you're 18, you now have 69 different vaccines that you have to get,
yeah,
since that time period. Mm-hmm. So that is the growth that happened from that.
I honestly was not aware of that. And I think, I mean, I know from us talking before, but prior, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of that, because that's a game changer. Like you said, when you can produce a product and absolve yourself from any liability, why not? You know, you might cut some corners if you know you have something that's can make you a lot of money.
But not even just cut corners, because people were getting sick beforehand.
Right. I mean,
that's why they needed it. So now it's even right. Worse. You
take,
know,
any kind of deterrent away. So yes.
Right.
So okay. Thank you for sharing that, Stephanie.
So just wanted to clarify that. So yeah. So now you're living in New York.
No, this was actually I was in Chicago at the time when this happened. I was living and working in the Chicago area after I graduated from Iowa, and then my actually discovering that alopecia is actually listed in the FDA insert for hepatitis B vaccine as a post-marketing potential side effect. I did not discover that for years. it was, you know, I just kind of went on with my life. Had my eyebrows tattooed and learned how to wear eyelashes and got a really nice wig and just went on with my life. But then I was working, you know, as a young nurse in Chicago, and I was working in labor and delivery with a lot of young moms, and they were always talking about vaccines. And a friend of mine said, some people that were like saying, and what was happening at that time was that they were starting to put that hepatitis B vaccine onto the infant schedule so that they were having to get it right at birth. And so there was a lot of talk amongst young mothers, and I was single, but I was listening to what they were saying. And so somebody said something to me about how, oh yeah, that hepatitis B has been linked to autoimmune conditions and blah, 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 blah. And a bell went off in my head, and I was like, oh, I think that's what happened to me. Like, that's what triggered it. It all kind of started after I was, you know, got that series of vaccines in nursing school. So I just kind of remembered that, kind of did my research, did some stuff about it. And then when I became a young mother, I remembered that and declined the hepatitis B vaccine for my children. And I actually, I don't know if I ever told you this or not, Steph, but I wrote up a birth plan, typed it up, brought it to the hospital, and made sure that it, you know, was given to the nurse when I went into labor, and like, do not give my children this hepatitis B vaccine. My husband knew as well. And I was that, you know, like aware of it, because it's like given, like, right? Like, yeah, it's like given like that fast after birth.
Kathy, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Doing that, and I'm not, you know, like me, probably there's a lot of people aren't even aware you could do that. Was that honored? I mean, or did you have pushback when you went into the hospital to say, here's my, I do not want my child to have this, my baby, when they're born?
Yeah, no, there was no problem at that time. Okay. I think things have changed since then. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Just at that time, it was honored. It was, yeah, no problem for both my older son, who is 20, and my younger son, who's about to be 16. So no problem with either of them. So that was my, you know, my concern was always primarily really about this hepatitis B vaccine. I think my knowledge about that there's concerns really with all vaccines, and that everybody can be have different reactions with them, and what the actual ingredients are in each of these vaccines. I feel like that came like much later. Like it kind of, like, for me, everything kind of, it was a very slow evolution of learning about this whole thing. But I always kind of feel like I learned in enough time for my kids. So I always kind of feel like happy about that. Like, and I also feel like I'm glad that I had the injury happen to me versus them. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just when you're, you know, just thinking of what could have happened, or, you know,
I just want to point out that I do, we now, my daughter, I know you have two sons. I have a daughter. My daughter is only partially vaccinated, so it might be a good pair up. I'm just saying, to make sure that we've got like vaccine free and unadulterated children. I'm just going to throw that out there. Take it for what you will.
Right. Wow. The woman is sharing her story on our show, and you're trying to hook up your daughter with her son because they have pure blood.
I'm just saying there could be some benefit.
Okay, I'm just feel like we may have hit a new. I normally, Kathy, I apologize on behalf of Stephanie. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what to say. We are,
you don't know what to apologize. Say.
Yeah, but if it works, you all figure that out. But any, you know, anyway,
my daughter would die right now if she heard this,
as any child would.
Right,
their mother is trying to set them right. up due to their vaccination status with a guest. But anyhow, so that. I mean, again, I don't think a lot of people are aware, and I'm one of those people like you, you know, I never would have thought until our medical event of the past 4 years that there was an issue, and it leaves you questioning so many other things. So you said there was no issue with it. Now is there, if I went in and had a baby and said, I don't want this hepatitis vaccine for the baby, is there a problem now? Or am I going to get problems from the medical people?
I think I've only heard anecdotally other stories that there has been, you know, have you heard more? Like, yeah. Like more pushback, or, you know, giving parents more of a hard time, or even if they want to say no to other interventions that are done to the babies right at birth, like such as the erythromycin ointment that they put in their eyes, and then the vitamin K shot. You know, some people are just, they just don't want any of those interventions, and they're just, they're kind of routine with an admission. So I guess it just depends on where you end up.
Well, and let's also say this, that right now, a lot of pediatric offices will not accept a child that does not take on the full schedule. So that becomes an issue if you say no in the hospital, because those children have not had the Hep B. And so you are going to struggle to get a pediatrician because of that. So whether the hospital accepts it or not is a whole different story than whether or not you can get a doctor in case something happens to your child and you need medical assistance.
I think that just happened to a mutual friend of ours, Stephanie, that had a child, older children. I mean, they were by no means even elementary school, said, I don't even know if she turned down all of the vaccines, but the practice said, then we can no longer see your child. And for perfectly legitimate reasons, said, no, we don't want this. They said, well, then you can't be a patient here anymore.
Yeah, because they get paid. They get bonused in order, you know, to have a certain amount of their child pediatric population vaccinated. Right. So there's a financial incentive. It has nothing to do with medicine at this point. It's all financial incentives.
And you know, when we share these things, I think there are two kinds of people listening to us right now. There are people like you, Stephanie, who've known this for years. Kathy, obviously, who've known this for years because you were affected personally. And there are people like me who've just learned this in the past few years and continue to find out more, whether from this act of 1986, absolving liability, getting paid to have populations vaccinated and so forth, to people who are like, I had no idea any of this was happening, to people that say, I don't even want to hear it. Probably if you're listening here, you're somewhere in the I knew this to I need to learn more kind of population. But it is important information that you should know, because don't you have a right? And both of you, you know, have medical background. Shouldn't there be a right to know, like, I'm at risk? I mean, did anyone ever tell you, Kathy, like, hey, if you get this in nursing school, here's what might happen to you if you get this hepatitis B shot?
I'm sure that I probably got, you know, what the routine
rash.
There's a sheet. There's like a one page sheet, right? That's given it for any vaccine. What's it called?
There's like a little fact sheet.
And, you know, probably there was something on that. But I mean, what I remember at the time was more of this fear mongering, like if you don't get this and you get stuck by a needle while you're practicing as a nurse, you have the potential to get hepatitis B, which can cause liver cancer and can cause liver cirrhosis, and you can die from it. I mean, that was the fear that they put into you.
Sure.
So that was all I heard. If, you know, there was nothing else like, oh, you might have, you know, a potential reaction to this, you know, they didn't tell me that. No, absolutely not.
Fear is a powerful motivator. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But having the children, you know, it should, hopefully for most people, it's like, one of the first things you have to encounter is, you know, this vaccine schedule, and it's, you know, right in the hospital. So it's definitely something that has to be discussed. And, you know, with your husband, and that you have to be on the same page about that. And then moving forward, like the issue with the pediatrician. So then, like you brought up a good point at that time. I found a pediatrician that was more of a natural, and there was no problems that I didn't want to vaccinate. Same thing with my younger son. When he was born in New York, I found a pediatrician, no problems, you know, okay, you don't want to do the hepatitis B vaccine. You don't want to do these vaccines on the schedule that we have put forth right now. It's not a problem. So I continued to get care for both my kids, you know, pediatric care through their infancy through their toddler, preschool, you know, the whole time. What's the next thing that comes up related to this vaccine issue is school, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to go, you want your children to go to, there's requirements for preschool, there's requirements for public school, there's requirements for private school, depending on what state you're in and where you go. So that was, you know, another obstacle that I had to deal with my older son. And he did go to a preschool. There was no problems that he didn't have the vaccine schedule. And then he went to the public school that was K through 12. And he actually was in a pre-K program there. Also, we submitted the necessary paperwork for a religious exemption, which is what they had at the time in New York. And there's no problem. So submitted the religious exemption, and it was, when I talk about like at the time, the religious exemption, in New York was that you had to actually write some sort of a statement. So and my statement was, you know, it was very brief. It didn't get into my organized religion or anything like that. It's just that these are my beliefs, and I, prayed upon it of what to do. And that I didn't want my child to have these vaccines. And that was my basic exemption.
And it was approved and you moved on.
Exactly.
And it's important to note that, you know, every state is different. But one of the things that we need to talk about is how did the New Yorkers lose that exemption, and what is happening across the U.S.? Because, you know, this is where I think the story gets very interesting, and really what people need to know and need to understand about what COVID was and where is it going, right?
Right, because we're not even at COVID at this point. I mean, at this point, everything's okay.
Yeah, at this point, everything's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, you're flying through life and it's mm-hmm. pretty good. And I think for quite a few people, you could manage that. But a lot of that has shifted, especially since COVID. But within the last 10 years, I mean, even with raising my own children, it has really shifted from me being able to say no, thank you, to absolutely, you cannot be part of this practice, you know, if you refuse anything. So it's interesting where you're going. But let's get further into this after our break, and really get into the nitty-gritty of what people need to know about what's happening in different states. America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where we stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on our podcast on those same apps. Be sure to make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We must all do our part and share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos so we can help secure America's future.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud for 25% off.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
So let's get into what happened in New York. How did you get to Pennsylvania, and what is happening in other states? What do people need to be aware of? So tell us a little bit about, I guess, really why you ended up in Pennsylvania is the story, right?
Yeah. Which I thought, Stephanie, we're not telling where we actually are from.
Oh, that's right. We live in California. Right.
Yes, or yes. Missouri, we move around a lot, so they can't find us, Cassie.
Next week, it's Alabama, so that no one can find us.
Continue. So in an unnamed state near you, go ahead. Tell how you ended up there.
Yeah, so like I said, my children had the exemption in place. It was not a problem. Life is moving along, like Stephanie said. And at some point, however, with my knowledge about different vaccine stuff, I came across the National Vaccine Information Center, also called NVIC. And I thought this was a great resource because at the time I was working in college health, and it was kind of also like primary care. So we did do some stuff with vaccines, and I just thought it was like a really good resource. And that was actually how I found out about just going through their stuff about the 1986 Act that we had been talking about before. So through there, they have something called an advocacy portal where you could kind of look and see like what's going on with vaccine laws in your state. So I signed up for the portal, and I start at sometime in my, maybe like 2018, 2017, 2018, somewhere in there. I start watching the bills, the legislative bills regarding vaccines and vaccine law in New York. And there was always this bill that was hanging out, and it was to remove the religious exemption. And then I started following the groups, the advocacy groups in New York that would kind of give us updates on what's going on with this bill. What can we do? There would be lobby days. There would be, you know, action alerts, you know, contact this person, send something to this person. And so that was what they were really working on in 2018, which just was kind of interesting. They wanted to get away from the exemption stating that you had to have like a long statement about your religion. And they wanted just a simple form that just said, I want a religious exemption. You sign it and that's it. So they had a lot of support for this in the legislature, and it was moving forward, this bill. And I was following it, and I was making the calls and all that. Well, the fall election came around in 2018 and the House and the Senate flipped for the state. So they flipped from, I think they were both Republican majority, and everything flipped over to Democrat. So it was the Democrat governor, Cuomo, and then now there's the majority Democrats in the House and in the Senate. So we lost all of those representatives that were supporting that bill. It was like a big loss.
And sounds like fraud to me. Continue on.
So then what happened in the beginning of 2019, boom, there's the bill again to remove the religious exemption. The people that are now, so the Democrats are now in charge of the subcommittees, correct? We kind of learn about the subcommittees, the health committee. So they're in charge. So they bring forward a bill to remove the religious exemption in both the Senate and the Assembly. So they call it, instead of the House, they call it the Assembly in New York. So companion bills come together. And so I start watching this. So this is January of 2019. I start watching and I become, you know, the little advocate. And I don't know anybody else that's into this. Okay. Like, I was totally doing this on my own. I was making calls. I had lists of the senators and lists of the assemblymen, and I would send emails and I would fax and I would send letters, and I was, you know, getting all the information from the advocacy groups about who you contact, blah, blah, blah. And I was like really far from Albany. So I couldn't really get up there for any of the things that they were doing together as groups. But I was doing what I could from home. And it seemed like really the bill wasn't really going anywhere. Like, it was just kind of hanging out, and the legislative session ended in June. So I did actually decide to go for a pretty big rally, and it was in May. So, and for that, a lot of people knew now at this point that this bill was there, and there were people from other advocacy groups, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, California, because at this point, California has lost their religious exemption. I'm sorry, they had a philosophical exemption, but they had lost theirs a few years prior, and that was kind of also pushing what was going on in New York. So there was quite a lot of people that were watching this bill. So we came together for the rally. And this is the first time that I actually was able to lobby myself in person. I met my assembly member. I didn't have a senator at the time because the senator had resigned and nobody had taken the place of the senator yet. So I just had the one meeting. And then we had the big rally. So guess who was there?
Who?
Bobby Kennedy.
Oh.
He was there. Wow. I met him that day. Yeah. Del Bigtree was there. And they actually were filming the whole thing on the high wire at the time. And a lot of other speakers from Children's Health Defense. There was no Children's Health Defense at the time, though. It was still called World Mercury Project.
And it's amazing how when you mention Robert Kennedy Jr., just to sidetrack, how they try to make him and some of these other folks look like crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a concerted effort to say, well, they disagree with you on this, and they can line up all the reasons from here to there, but it doesn't matter. The media and the narrative is, let's make these people sound nuts.
Yeah, I mean, at this stage of the game, if someone's called nuts or a quack, I'm on board.
Yes, well, of course. But, you know, it's like that, you know, that word extreme, like they're extreme, you know.
Right.
You're extreme
because you go to church on Sunday. Or yes. You're extreme because you care about your child.
Yes, or you're a Christian nationalist or whatever.
Correct.
If you believe in
thank you for using the right terminology with me. I appreciate
it. Yes, that. If you believe in Constitution and biblical narratives, but biblical truths. But go on, please. Sorry, I just need to mention that.
Oh, so well, I think one of the most important things I learned that day, though, is when I met with my assembly member, and he was a conservative. And he said, I will not be voting for this. He's like, oh, I will be voting no to this bill because this goes against the First Amendment. And I said, exactly. I said, well, how can they even bring forward such a bill to remove a religious exemption when it goes against the First Amendment? And then he said to me, well, what they do in New York is they push the bills past that they want, and then they worry about the lawsuits later.
And that sounds pretty accurate, because that's exactly what happened in COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you got a little pre-taste of what
was
to come.
Then I went outside after I met him, and we had the rally, and that sat with me the whole day, what he said. And it was a very emotional day for me, because all these people being there supporting the parents. But I had this like feeling like something is not going to go right with this. So then a month later is when they actually, it was the last day of the legislative session, and they decided to bring it forward for a vote. So they brought forward the House, the Health Committee members, and it passed through that, and then it passed through all in one day. It happened. It went through the committee. They voted. And then it went to the House, the Assembly. They voted. And then to the Senate, they all voted to remove it. So three votes there. And then it went to Governor Cuomo's desk. And by 7 p.m., our exemption was gone.
And let me be very clear what happens next, because people will say that, well, there's still medical exemptions, and really it should be the doctor who decides that. But then they put a limit on the doctors who, how many medical exemptions those doctors can write. They'll give you like 5. If you do over that, then you get investigated or you lose your license or something like that. So the next step to this is going after the doctors.
Can I just state what this is? Because this is my concern. There again, I was a person who was like, okay, yeah, whatever. This is saying that you do not have control about what is injected into your bloodstream.
Correct.
Right? This is saying, no, that is not, it is not your decision. We can inject what we want and what we say you need, regardless of what it is, into your bloodstream and into the bloodstream of your children. And this is my problem. When a government can tell you what to put in your own blood, and that was my problem with masks during COVID, or to what to put on your face, they can literally tell you anything. You have begun to lose your most basic rights.
And absolutely.
Not even basic rights. You have lost the sovereignty of what's in your own blood.
Well, let me just give you the logical statement here. Who in their right mind would go through and say every person in the U.S. needs a spoonful of peanut butter in order to be healthy? Would it happen? No, because we all know there's going to be so many people who are going to die from that, and therefore it should not be mandated. But here we are.
Yes.
And that's the logical, you know, that's really what this is. There is nothing on this earth that is good for every single person.
Right. So this happened. And is that when you decided to move before? Because this is before COVID. Did you decide?
So this was in June of 2019. So no, we decided that we would homeschool them. So, the state of New York gave everybody the full summer and 2 weeks into the next school year to get all your vaccines. And it was crazy. Like, if we're talking a matter of months, some families, their kids have, you know, they've had absolutely, you can't give that whole schedule within that short amount of time, you know? So we decided that, yeah, we were going to homeschool them that year. It was a really big decision for us, because we're both working, my husband and I, and how we were going to manage it. It was actually like a pretty depressing time for me in my life, because it was big changes, and big changes for my kids, and to see how disappointed they were and how they were isolated. It was very sad, but they did well. And then, the biggest problem with New York is that you can't do any athletics. They don't allow homeschool kids to do athletics in the school system. So they couldn't even do that. You know, they lost everything. They lost their education. They lost their peers. They lost their sports. So it was very hard. So
And I would like to point out at this particular moment that Kathy's like 8 feet tall. And so her kids are very good at basketball, just genetically speaking.
Okay. I feel that that was a little, you know, 8 feet tall. She's eight not feet. 8 feet tall, but she is tall. That is very correct.
How tall are you, Kathy?
5'11".
There we go. That's what happens in media. She began from 5'11 to 8 feet tall, just like
eight,
that.
8 feet tall.
Fake news. Go ahead, Kathy.
So that's after 1 year, you know, my older son especially was asking, you know, like, what can we do so I can get back into sports? So I started looking around, like, what our options were, where we could live. And that was how we figured out a place where we could come and come to Pennsylvania, where right now there are three solid exemptions in place. There is a medical exemption, there is a religious exemption, and there is a philosophical exemption to vaccine mandates. So it has worked out okay. However, you know, a million changes for our family, including, you know, job loss for myself and a big change to our income, our family income. So, but once I got here to Pennsylvania, I immediately wanted to connect with the advocacy group, you know, so I went on to that National Vaccine Information Center, and they have the links for the advocacy groups in each state. And I found the one for Pennsylvania, and I joined up, went to one of the meetings, and started kind of helping out because I was closer to the Capitol, much closer than I was in New York. I wasn't anywhere close to Albany there. So I was much closer. So I was able to go and help out. So that is, can I say?
Yeah.
So our group here in Pennsylvania is called the PCIC, Pennsylvania Coalition for Informed Consent. And we're doing the same thing, just kind of watching for bad bills related to vaccine policy, and also looking to support good bills, keeping in mind medical freedom and keeping in mind protection of the exemptions.
And once
at
again,
all costs.
I want to keep saying this because I just don't think people realize it. This is about allowing you, if you want to go get all these vaccines, that's perfect. You're perfectly fine to do that. But this is about allowing you as a parent or an individual to say no to something that you may think might harm you or have the potential to harm you. And it's in your body and going to be in your body forever. And yeah.
And this isn't just about children, because they have refused organ transplants for people who have not gotten the COVID shot. This is about humanity in general. You know, this goes so far beyond what, you know, someone just not wanting to get a couple vaccinations. This is pretty serious what is happening at this point. And people have got to understand, well, A, that they deserve informed consent, right? Like, someone should tell them the side effects of these medications. Someone should inform them that there's a black box warning on the vitamin K shot for an infant, which is the most severe warning you can give a medication. And yet is routinely, without question, given to your newborn, and you're never even told it's a possibility of death or liver dysfunction when you get that shot.
You know, I think the important thing here to note, too, from Kathy's example is, and we say this, Stephanie, on this show a lot. I mean, you both have a medical background. I don't. So a lot of us get intimidated, like, I don't know. And you don't have to know everything. But the thing is, you have to be proactive. So, like, you were looking at these things. And again, you don't even need to know that, but you have Pennsylvania Informed Consent Coalition that can be doing this for you. And to be, to know what's happening, because to just close your eyes, you said this bill in New York, you were watching it, you had a bad, you know, feeling, but they passed it in one day, And, you know, you have to be aware of what's happening and be proactive in what you're doing to protect your family. I firmly believe that.
And I think that in Pennsylvania, it's important to note that the PA Medical Society is currently looking to get rid of that religious exemption. you know, it's happening in Pennsylvania, and it will go state to state to state if people do not start speaking up for their God-given constitutional rights in the U.S.
Well, and I applaud Kathy. I mean, I had a little, not even nowhere near your story, but my daughter was in college during COVID, and I was afraid that college, she was going into her senior year, was going to mandate the COVID shot, and started writing letters to trustees that we knew and so forth. You know, we hired an attorney. My daughter had open heart surgery when she was young. So also when you saw about the myocarditis and some of the other possible issues with that, that was great concern to me. We hired an attorney, and she gave us very clever ways to get other parents involved. And I say this, the college never mandated it, but they threatened those kids. I had a call with one of the administrators. They were going to, she was doing student teaching. They threatened her student teaching placement. Mm-hmm. Now I went, pardon me, I don't know if we're allowed to say this on the air, but I went batshit crazy about all of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I felt good. And I've since had people come to me and say, thank you for doing that, because I feel like they never mandated it because you and your group were involved. And it was a group of like 20 parents and an attorney who was smart about writing letters. But you really have to do this before. You can't kind of wait and go, oh, my word, look what they just mandated. You have to be proactive and know what's happening, as you were. And even still, the things can happen.
Yeah. And actually, since I've been in Pennsylvania and I connected with the advocacy group here, I also follow what's going on in other states. So actually after, I don't know, Steph, if you remember this or not, but after New York lost their exemption, they tried very hard to remove the religious exemption in New Jersey. And they had such a huge pushback. But I mean, even for those, I was making calls because there would be action alerts, you know. There would be, you would go on the NVIC portal, and there would be action alerts. It's like, this is who you call, you know, call this number, call this representative, you know, these people, and ask them, you know, to not vote for this. But that was like, do you remember that?
Yeah.
The whole thing in New Jersey. So they, I mean, the people, like, basically during the vote, they, there was so many people that packed around that Capitol, and they made so much noise that they could not actually get like a decent vote, and the thing just died. So, but they were like so close to losing their exemption. And then after that, unfortunately, it happened in Maine. They lost their exemption. And then in the middle of COVID, they still continued this this push to, and they did it in Connecticut. So actually, for the interesting thing about the what happened in Connecticut was that they had a Zoom hearing for the public. We never got a public hearing in New York. It was like we were waiting for a public hearing so that we could all get up and say something as parents that were concerned. We never got that because everything happened so fast. But they had this public hearing in Connecticut, and it went on for 24 hours.
Wow.
And they only took 500 people. And I was actually one of them. So I actually spoke about my experience, about my kids losing their exemption and what they would be doing to their people and their state. And I was on the Zoom call at 2:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. So they did that. They had a hearing for 24 hours, and then they voted, and they still, after all these people are calling in and basically begging the legislator in Connecticut, please do not remove our exemption, they took it away.
It's a phenomenal story. And, you know, I so appreciate you sharing it, because I think people need to hear that. It's just important for people to know, how does this happen? Why are people standing up to this or trying to do something about it? You know, and I think it's pretty reasonable. I don't know how you feel, Kathy, but I think it's pretty reasonable to say that everyone, well, I know how you feel, but people should have a choice. You know, people should have a choice to get something, not get something, to eat something, not to eat something, right? To wear a piece of clothing, not to wear a piece of clothing, whatever it is, everyone deserves a choice. You know, it's a little bit ridiculous to think that you can go through life not having a choice in a matter that directly impacts you, right? Because it's not really impacting other people. It impacts you. You deal the consequences of those decisions in the case of especially a case of a vaccination, right? Mm-hmm. So
I think your analogy, Steph, and I had not heard that before, but I've been thinking about it since you said it. If all of a sudden science said we need to eat the teaspoon of peanut butter every day, there are obviously people that have severe peanut mm-hmm. allergies. So to make that carte blanche kind of thing and then have people, have a severe, horrible, we know that people have those allergies. You wouldn't want to force that on people, but yet you're willing to force these other things on people without knowing what the consequences, and Kathy shared a story before COVID. Then the COVID stuff was just nuts, what they were doing to push that whole jab. And I just saw someone recently and she said, you know what? I never knew that the COVID jab really wasn't approved. And I was like, no, it never was. It was what, an emergency use authorization?
Yeah, but they did have another one, Comenity. I think it was Comenity or Comanity or something like that, that supposedly was FDA approved, except that, oddly enough, it was not available within the U.S. So then they tricked people into thinking, right. So they tricked people into thinking that it was not EUA and that it was approved. And I remember because I sat down with one of my sisters and she says, well, it's approved now. And I said, no, this particular one is approved and not available. She goes, well, it is available. I said, well, go find it. She was one of those that was very happy to tell everyone we are killing people by not getting it. But anyhow,
yes.
We'll move on.
And there again, I had looked into it, with the whole COVID stuff, and I looked up this information. The typical vaccine took 7 to 10 years to approve, and only 2% were approved. So we still have problems. Kathy, again, all her story is before COVID.
Yeah.
And then we have this thing that just, we tested it on like 4 people we found at the mall or so. I don't know. Probably, but it wasn't tested on many people. No regard to the long-term consequences. And now what? You're telling people to get 8 or 9? What are we up to? 27?
I'm not sure. I think we're up to 6, but I think the uptake is only at 10% now because a huge portion of the population have now realized what's going on and they are now anti-vaxxers, whether they admit it or not. Just want to say that out again.
That is the positive part of it that, but that, I'm sure they'll come out with something else because, money talks.
It does.
But it's just astounding to me. And I love that Kathy, Stephanie, Kathy's kind of badass.
Oh my, well, yeah. Yes, she is. I mean, and she's kind of scary because she's 8 feet tall too.
Again, I feel that we veered into fake news there. She's 5'11", but I applaud her because she really put herself out there on behalf of the health of her children. And we should all be so inclined to care about our kids to that extent and be willing to uproot their lives.
I was going to say completely uprooted everything in order to do that. And I wish more parents took interest. I'll never forget. I was talking to school board members about some curriculum and they said, well, we don't really read that. We just approve it. And I'm like, wait a second. What do you mean you don't read the curriculum?
That's your job.
Thank you. Like have an interest. If you're not interested in it, don't run for school board. Actually, this was a private school that it was happening at, but it amazes me how many people are willing just to kind of turn a blind eye, not have interest in something and not take any action. And I get so frustrated because of this sort of thing.
Well, as we talk about this, having control over your health, the one thing you always mention is to be healthy. So when there is some kind of problem that you are eating well and so forth. And I know that includes whether it's supplements, exercise, diet. And I know we've also been eating these Heal Right bars.
Yes. Oh my, well, I'm in love with those things. I just took a trip. And normally I have a little bit of a shy bowel issue. Not that the whole world needs to know this, but it's true.
You just told the entire world.
I know. And I don't know why I did that, but here we are.
Okay.
I had no issues. Zero. It was like those Heal Right. I don't know what's happening right now, but I'm just loving loving it. Like, travel was amazing for the first time. And I've always been a big traveler. It's the first time I've never had an issue.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I feel like I should send a thank you card to HealRight right now.
Yes. And be their shy bow conversationalist.
Yeah. So. I honestly thought that was a thing. Now I know. I think it's probably just the dietary changes that happen when I travel.
Probably.
I just literally thought I didn't like certain bathrooms.
Well, now you found out. But, you know, it is very important to whatever degree. And that's something I've learned. You have to take control of your health and invest in your health so that when there is a difficulty like COVID or anything else, that you are in the best place and support your immune system and that your body can function as God intended it to.
Absolutely. And your metabolic rate is so important to that in many different regards. But absolutely, because if your immune system is up, if your body is functioning the way it should function, then when you get a little bit of a germ, your body fights it and you just don't respond like everybody else.
Yep. So. I think I've said it before. I had COVID Labor Day 2021. You told me I'd get it, Stephanie. You have me prepared. Since then, I have not even had a cold.
That's amazing. I do remember you saying that when you got COVID, that if you were going to die from COVID, you'd rather jump off a bridge so that people didn't know you were right.
I told my husband to take me out on the one highway and throw me out there so that it would give the appearance that I got hit by a car or something, because I didn't want to give anyone the satisfaction that COVID took me out. So
it's like, but look, you survived. You're doing well.
I did.
Completely changed your life. You've not been sick because of it.
No. And after COVID, I had some hair problems, because that's something with COVID. And you gave me some holistic, healthy stuff to do, and my hair grew back. So now look at me. I wear ponytails now.
That's right. Between the HealRight bars and the hair concoction, you are just a different woman. Completely different woman.
I'm sporting it, baby.
And with that, you know, I think that people, again, it's Kathy making one call at a time. Even though she's not at a capital or anything else, like, we can all make a difference. And so, you know, wherever you are and to what extent you are able, stand up, step forward, and speak out.